Well, this is a glorious day to celebrate His presence and Spirit within us. And I'm excited to preach the message today. I'm not in a series. I will be starting one probably next Sunday, which will go for several weeks. But today is on a message entitled, The Blessings of God. The Blessings of God. And it is my joy to preach this theme, this message today. The Bible is a book bountifully full of the blessings of God. It is a history of God's blessing people. That's really what the scriptures are. It's a history of God's blessing people, both as individuals, generations, and nations as well. The Bible not only pictures blessings, it also repeatedly promises and even at times commands the blessings of God. So God's word promises and commands His blessings. If you were to do a quick survey of the scriptures on this, what I call a sacred grace, the blessings of God, we would also discover some things about these blessings. They can and should be prayed for. These blessings can. They can be inherited, but they also can be missed. They can be stolen, and they can be ignored. And at times, the blessings can be turned into cursings or curses. But also, we've discovered that curses can be turned into blessings. One of the clearest testimonies of that particular truth is found in Galatians 3:13, just a passing reference. I encourage you to have a sharp pencil to get some of these notes that won't be on the screen or even places some in your worship guide. The place where Jesus Christ gave us the ultimate example where a curse was turned into a blessing. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. The crucifixion was a place of cursedness, but Jesus took the curse and made it a crucifixion of God's ultimate blessing and grace. The Bible also reminds us in Proverbs 10:22, just references, the blessings of the Lord maketh one rich. Ezekiel 34:26, we discover that the Bible tells us that there shall be showers of blessings. You thought that was just a verse in an old hymn. Showers of blessings. Oh, that today they might fall. But that's the scriptural references. Malachi 3:10 says that God will give us blessings that we will not have room to receive it. Get that. God says He's got more blessings than you can handle or hold. That's what He says in His word. Romans 15:29 says that the Apostle Paul went to Rome in the fullness of the blessings of the gospel of Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:16 tells us that when we take the Lord's Supper and we take the cup representing the blood of Jesus Christ, the Bible calls that cup the cup of blessing. Galatians 32:26 tells us that Jacob wrestled with God. Theologians typically suggest that that's a pre-incarnate presence of Jesus, that Jacob wrestled with the pre-incarnate Jesus, and Jacob would not let him go until he blessed him. Jacob actually wrestled for the blessing of God. Well, you've seen the text where the scripture gives us this pronouncement of from God on His people of His blessings out of Numbers. Three things very quickly, as you see in your worship notes this morning, we encourage you to fill these out. First of all, the benefits of being aware of the blessings of God. The benefits of being aware of the blessings of God. Again, in the Old Testament, we find the prayer of Jabez. It says, and Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother named him Jabez, saying, because I bore him with pain. Now Jabez called on the Lord of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my border, that thy hand might be with me and that thou wouldest keep me from harm, that it may not pain me. And God granted him his request. It was because Jabez was aware of the blessings of God that he was asking for the blessings of God. It was because he was aware that God was a God who blesses. And that God wants to bless us more than we want to be blessed, apparently. And yet, because God wants to bless and we are aware of those blessings, Jabez asked for that very thing. Well, you know what yesterday was, or this week, the 50th anniversary of Martin Luther King's speech in Washington, D.C. The history behind that speech is very interesting. As he stood that day before approximately 250,000 people to give that historic speech on the liberty and the equality of races here in America, we find that the man who suggested the content of the speech, I heard him tell this story and on YouTube yesterday. He was saying that he had written some notes for Brother King to use as a basis to make his speech. And so he had written some notes out, and he didn't realize until he was on stage, until Dr. King started making the speech, that the first part of that speech was verbatim the script that this man, a friend of his, had suggested to speak. So he is reading, and you can see in the speech, you can go and see the whole speech on YouTube, you can see Dr. King is reading from the script of the speech. And then somewhere along the way, before even Dr. King had spoken, a gospel singer had sang some gospel hymns, Mahalia Jackson. And so she was still on the stage nearby. And in the middle of the speech, somewhere along in there, she shouts out, "Tell them your dream," she says. Mahalia Jackson says, "Tell them your dream." And about that time, the man who had written the speech and known that Dr. King was following it began to see that he's raising his head up and he's leaving the script. And the man who wrote the speech leaned over to a friend sitting next to him and said, "Hang on, we're fixing to go to church." We're fixing to go to church. And that's when Dr. King broke into the "I Have a Dream" section of that speech, which became known as the "I Have a Dream" speech. And he spoke so eloquently of the call for us to share and to experience racial equality, which is, folks, something all of us desire. And it's my conviction that because Martin Luther King was a Baptist minister and he was a studied man in the scriptures, that he understood the blessings of God to be anchored in the will of God. That's where God's blessings are. If you want to live a life that's blessed, get in God's word and anchor your life in God's will. And because he understood that to live out that will and word, he sought and asked for the blessings and wanted our nation to experience the blessing of God as well. God is a God who blesses people. Are you aware of that? Do you want to live the blessed life? We should be asking because we are aware. But also, what else? Someone sent me this story. I get all kinds of stories, as you do, and emails. I don't read all of them detailed. I skim most of them. Some of them I skip, honestly. I get more than I can handle. But this is one of those that I thought I would skim. And once I skimmed it, I had to go back and detail it. And then I found myself telling somebody else about it. So I'm going to tell you about it. It's a story. It's a story. It's a story of a man who dies and goes to heaven. And an angel meets him at the gate of heaven. And he's beginning to show this man around heaven. And the angel takes him to this place where there's hundreds and hundreds of angels working frantically. And the man asks this angel, he said, "Well, what is this massive room? They're working feverishly in here. What are they doing?" He said, "This is the receiving department for prayers. I mean, they're sorting through prayers from all over the world." He said, "It goes around the clock. They work around the clock. And they are taking all of these prayers from all over the world. And they're trying to process them right here." I said, "Well, that's amazing." And then they go down the way and they come to another massive, massive room. And hundreds of angels are working feverishly. And they're frantically. He said, "Well, what is this?" He said, "This is the packaging and delivery department for those prayers." They figure out what God tells them, what prayer, how to answer that. And they package it and they're sending them out. Man, they're working feverishly to take care of all this. He said, "Well, that is amazing." All around the clock, they're working. They go down the way and they come to a little tiny room. There's one angel sitting in there reading the newspaper. I don't know what news angels get, but anyway, he's reading the newspaper, got his feet propped up on the desk. And the man says, well, what's this room? The angel says, this is the acknowledgement department. This is where we get thank you notes from the prayers that have been answered and the blessings that have been received. If we're aware that God blesses, we ought to be asking, but we should also be acknowledging. Years ago, there was a missionary to Lebanon that was captured and held for 16 months in rigid, harsh captivity. He was eventually freed, and they asked him how he spent his time during those months of captivity. And you know what he said? I spent it counting my blessings. He said, anytime I got to take a bath, oh, I praise God for it. Anytime there was a little piece of vegetable floating in that soup that they would give me, I praise God for it. He said, every time God would give me a fresh something that was unexpected, I'd praise God for it. He said, I made it through the captivity because I was counting my blessings. Are you aware that God wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed? Not only do we benefit from to being aware of the blessings of God, but also, notice here, the burden of being available to the blessings of God. There is a massive burden to be available to the blessings of God. Notice in this, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, these words, now it shall be, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if, don't you wish God wouldn't put that if in there? If you obey the Lord your God, blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed you shall be in the country. Blessed you shall be the offspring of your body and the produce of the ground and the offspring of your beast and the increase of your herd and the young of your flock. Blessed shall you be, shall your basket and your kneeling bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. This is God's promise of his blessings if we pursue them through obedience to his word. Often we are missing the blessings of God because we're not willing simply to do what he said. Now, admittedly, there are two kinds of broad categories of blessings. There are conditional blessings. This is a conditional blessing. If then, if you will, he will. If you'll take him up on it, he will deliver. If you will obey, he will do it. And then there's unconditional blessings. Unconditional blessings are common grace blessings. It rains on the just and the unjust. We don't do anything to get rained on. Just stand still long enough. I mean, but God's blessings in a common sense comes, but in a particular sense, the conditional blessings of God ultimately always come on the basis of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's grace. Obedience does not merit or earn you any of the blessings of God. Obedience just puts you in a place to receive what Jesus' death already paid to give you. It just puts you in a disposition to receive what his grace has already paid for. You don't earn it. You just are in a place to receive it. Let me list some of the blessings of God you see in your worship notes there. I would call them material blessings. He says that here, lands, crop. He's going to bless these things. He's going to multiply them. Material blessings. God is still in the business of blessing us materially. Now, that doesn't mean this is not name it, claim it, and tell God what he's got to do for you. But to recognize that every time you put food in your mouth, that is a material blessing. And look at yourself. Some of us are overblessed. We are blessed. Not only material blessings, but emotional blessings. The scripture says, let the peace of God rule your heart in Christ Jesus. The blessings of the peace of God in your spirit. It's not based on the circumstances. We spent time talking about all that. Joy is not anchored in what's happening. It's anchored in what happened in your heart through Christ. But emotional blessings. To have a peace that passes all understanding. And then mental blessings. Your mind. The scripture says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Mental blessings. And then what I call providential blessings. What is that? It's the working of God that you don't recognize often. It's the interweaving of your thinking and your choosing and other people's thinking and choosing and the intermixing of life's events and experiences and how God engineers all of those things for His glory and for your good in ways that you don't often recognize. Providential blessings. How God just simply provides. The other day, my daughter's car, she came to our house and it wouldn't start. Of course, I went out there with all my mechanic skills. Got my tools out like I knew what I was doing. You know, I tell people I need a car that's been built at Poncho's. You know the old Poncho's restaurant? I need one where you open the hood and a flag will pop up and say, this is what needs to be fixed. When they make one, I'm going to buy one. So I tinkered around on it, and I did all that. Well, my daughter's learned that in case of problems, call our mechanic, friend of ours. She calls him. He knows what's going on before I do. He came, said it needs a battery. Oh, okay. But I said to my daughter, I said, you need to thank God. It didn't start right here in front of the house. It could have not started 1,000 other dark, dim, horrid places. It didn't start right here in front of the house. That's a providential blessing of God. How many times do we complain about something that happens and God says, all right, buddy, next time I'll let it not start over here. Providential blessings all the time. Just look around. God, you got an answer. What are you doing in this situation? Not only material, emotional, mental, providential, relational blessings. Family, friends, a community of faith. We are enjoying some more of God's relational blessings as we're deepening our hearts in association with more of the body of Christ this morning. This is of the heart of God. You have no idea if you've been a part of a church, a part of a family that loves you in Christ and loves you as the body of Christ. You have lost sight of how blessed you are. Just yesterday, my mother's only brother was called to heaven. I went Friday night, spent some time there, talked, and he was a believer. My father led him to Christ years ago, and went to that house. He and his wife have been active in churches for years. House was full of people coming and going. You know how it is. I mean, it's coming and going and coming and going. And the hospice chaplain, turns out, is also an associate pastor at the church where my aunt and uncle attend. So the hospice chaplain was somebody that they knew. Huh? Providential blessings. And I was standing there talking to this young man, this hospice chaplain. And we were just talking about life and ministry. How's your church going and how long you've been doing this? We do a little catch up. And he said, Rocky, he said, I get to be in a lot of homes at this time. And he said, it's so sad when I'm a part of a home that has no faith and no church family. There's not all this coming and going. It's lonely and hollow and sad. Do you know how blessed you are? We are massively blessed. I told you, when my dad passed away, it's been 4 years ago now, and that hospice nurse, that they would make shifts for about those 2 or 3 days when he was his last few hours. And I told you that hospice, one of those hospice nurses said, you know, we usually come, when we're in homes like this, we recognize we're not really here for the patient because they're on their way out and we've made them comfortable. We're here for the family to comfort them. But she said, y'all don't need us. You don't need us. I said, no, we really don't. We're good. We know where Dad's going and we're celebrating that. And I don't mean just saying that. We're saying it. Where it settled in our heart, gave us peace in our soul, and joy in our spirit and freedom in our being that when he was called home, we said, thank you, Jesus. We're blessed relationally and we're blessed spiritually. The text we read a few moments ago, and get this, from a Christian perspective, every single blessing you have comes because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And lastly, and number three, then I close, the beauty of giving away the blessings of God. Genesis 12:1-2, and the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house in the land to which I will give you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make you a great name, and so you shall be blessed. Make me a channel of blessing today. Make me a channel of blessing, I pray. Do you recognize that some of the times the reason you are not blessed and I am not fully blessed is because I'm not willing to be a blessing to somebody else? We are like reservoirs. If the water comes in and does not go out, it gets stagnant and useful for nothing. God wants us to not, get this, you're not blessed just for you. You're blessed to be a blessing. You're blessed to be a blessing to your next door neighbor, to your family, to your friends, to your work associates, to fellow students. We are in this world to be a blessing to this city, to your community, to this state, and to this world. If God was just blessing you for you and he wanted to do that in the ultimate sense, he would save you and then kill you and take you home. Because that's when blessings are fully realized. But he leaves us here. Why? Why do you and I whine so much? We say, Lord, why don't you just get me out of here? I got an uncle that's 90. He's been going through all kinds of cancer treatment. He said to me the other day, he said, I just wish the Lord would just call me home. You know, I said, well, he will. But he's on his timetable. And he'll do it when he's good and ready. And until then, I think he wants you to be a blessing to me. And he is. He's a faithful Christian. He's loved the Lord for years. He and my dad's sister, he's an uncle by marriage. He and my dad's sister never had any kids. And yet, he's been just as much an uncle to me. And while I've done a revival in his church, he has. And I tell him, you've been a blessing. Thank you for being an example. And one of the things that that particular uncle does, he resonates gratitude. He thanks God all the time. He said, I look back at my life and I am shocked at what God chose to do. He was in World War II. He said, I was on board ship. He was in the Marines. He said, I was on board one of those ships. You know, the Navy is the one that transport the Marines to get where they're going. You know, the Marine says, boys, just get us there and we'll take care of it. He says, I've been on board ship when the whole ship is sick. I mean, thousands of those troops. I won't describe what exactly he said about that, but he said, when we pulled in to Pearl Harbor, they called off 100 out of several thousand of those Marines. They called off 180 something names and said, boys, if your name was called, get off this boat in Hawaii. He said, my name was one of them. He said, I spent the next 3 years in Honolulu. What do you call that? Providential blessings of God. And he said, most of the guys on that boat didn't come home. Why me? I have no idea, he says. But I praise God for his blessings. Now, let me ask you today. Do you want to be blessed? Are you obeying the word of the Lord to be blessed? Are you following fully in obedience, not partly, not haphazardly, not part-time, but committing your whole mind, soul, body, and spirit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? And are you choosing to say, God, I want you to use me to be a blessing to someone else? Whoever that might be, God, give me a life that is blessable. To not just me, but to somebody else. You know, when we talk about material blessings, that Malachi text has to do with tithing. There's that word. He says, I'll give you more than you can handle, but you got to be a giver, a tither of the Lord's blessings back to his kingdom service. Let me ask you today, what kind of blessings do you need? Material, spiritual, physical, relational, health, emotional, mental, psychological, family, job, finances? Let me ask you something. Have you asked God? The prayer of Jabez is, he said, God, I want you to bless me. I didn't go through the bless and the definition. It was on your screen. And indeed, which means lots to overflowing. He's asking him, God, not, don't just do it, but do a good job of it. Pour it to overflowing. Spill it out on me. Now, hang on. Don't start dictating how God's supposed to express those blessings. I know that's exactly what we do. You say, God, bless me. And you're thinking, oh, it's going to be fun. It's going to be enjoyable. It's going to be, everybody's going to see it and celebrate it with me. It's going to be bank account this and new car that and affluence this. And you're going, God, bless me indeed. And he may send you to a cross. He may take you to the valley of suffering. He may allow hardship in your relationships at home. He may allow you to be exposed to spiritual encounters and warfare. What's he doing? He's trying to get you to be obedient, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil one in that day. God's made every provision to do all that he wants to do in us and for us and through us if we are willing to be blessed. That's the question. This is the invitation this morning. You may say, Pastor, wow, I got some areas in my life that need the blessings of God. We're going to have the pastors down here ready to receive in this time of invitation. If you want to come and say, would you just pray for me about this area in my life that I want God to bless, we want you to feel free to come. You don't have to talk to one of the pastors. You may come to one, the altar here and say, God, I have not been living a life that you could honor and be glorified in and be blessed in. Sometimes the best introduction to the next blessing of God is repentance for a rebellious and indifferent spirit and living in conscience or known sin in your life, or absolute indifference.